Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for listening. It's John Kuzma from EndZoneBlog.com's Across the Middle Show. And we got a good one for you today. I think you guys are going to enjoy this. Not that it's necessarily a good thing, but I guess it's entertaining in all the wrong ways. The Alliance of American Football League has folded up. The league, you know, was a money pit. It was so hard to sustain. It wasn't sustainable ultimately in the end. And, you know, we're going to talk about it. So this is what I have for you. You know, Tom Dundon shouldn't be blamed for the AAF's collapse. Dundon sank $70 million into the league and gave the players seven more games than they should have had. It seems like Tom Dundon is the fall guy for the Alliance of American Football's struggles, but it's very unfortunate that people would try to blame him for the league failing. The AAF nearly collapsed after their first week of action, and it was Dundon who came to the rescue. Had it not been for Dundon, then Charlie Ebersole and Bill Polian would have been under heavy scrutiny for failing to secure enough capital for such an enormous operation. It's clear the AAF's expenses were racking up quickly, and because Dundon tried to lend a helping hand, he got burned for $70 million of his own money. The problem with these startup leagues always comes back to one burden, and that's the financial challenges, which are way too high of a mountain to scale. Dundon realized his new investment was a money pit, and he couldn't risk losing any more of his wealth by trying to save a sinking ship. The players should all thank the Carolina Hurricanes owner Dundon because he at least gave them an opportunity to showcase their talent. You know, some of these players, you know, like Young Hoku, Garrett Gilbert, Rashad Ross, you know, they could wind up on an NFL roster. And that wouldn't have been the case if only the first games were played. You know, was it an ideal ending to a too-good-to-be-true situation? Not at all, but there were some great moments, and for the time being, it helped a lot of people put some food on the table. Ultimately, the payroll is what doomed the Alliance, and the only way this could have worked is with individual owners for each team. Otherwise, the costs add up too quickly, and everything spirals out of control. Tom Dundon is smart for getting out, and his only mistake was getting involved to begin with. He lost a lot of money, and his reputation took a hit. So Tom Dundon, Carolina Hurricanes owner, he's a billionaire. He has a lot of money, and he decides to step up and help the Alliance of American Football, the startup alternative, I guess you can say minor league football organization. You know, they have this great product. It looks good. It's innovative. They have a great app. From a technical standpoint, they're on their P's and Q's. But behind the scenes, financially, they burn through so much cash so fast, you know, whether it was buying the equipment, the jerseys, the travel, renting out facilities, you know, stadiums. You know, they burned through all their cash to the point where after the very first week, they couldn't make payroll. So stop and think about that. You know, they couldn't make payroll after the first games were played. You know, there's eight teams, two teams play each other. What is that, four games? And they couldn't make payroll? That tells me that Charlie Ebersol and Bill Polian's financial projections and, you know, their expenses and their spreadsheets and their accounting was way off. And ultimately, you know, they go into this process of this business forming, you know, I guess it's entrepreneurship in a way, because, you know, you're starting a business, it's a startup, you're trying to make it grow into a sustainable business that can eventually turn a profit and be in the green. But, you know, right away, there was red flags. So Tom Dundon steps in for whatever reason. He should have realized, you know, this is a sinking ship. I'm not going to help out and just let it go up in smoke, because, you know, like I said, as good as their presentation was, financially their ducks weren't in a row. But Tom Dundon's a good guy. He steps up. He tries to save the league. He puts $70 million down. He was going to give $250 million, and he gets burned for that $70 million in 7 weeks. Not even 2 months, he burned through $70 million. And now, like, Charlie Ebersol and Bill Polian are kind of putting a smokescreen on Tom Dundon, and they're trying to make him the fall guy for everything. And they're saying, you know, well, he pulled the plug too soon, and that wasn't the agreement when he got in. It's like, dude, he just burned through $70 million to take you from week one to week eight. Burned through $70 million in 2 months, and now you guys are going to scapegoat him? He's the reason that you guys weren't an embarrassment after week one. He literally stepped up and saved you, and then you turned your back on him and let him take the fall publicly instead of owning up to your mistakes. And now all the public are saying Tom Dundon is a jerk and an asshole for pulling out and not finishing the season. And all these people are blaming Dundon. And Dundon's got to be thinking, all I tried to do was help. And they're saying, well, he flexed on the NFLPA and he wanted them to be, you know, a feeder league for the NFL. You know, to some degree, that's true. But, you know, what else is true? He lost $70 million and he didn't want to flip the bill anymore. I can't blame him for that. If you get $70 million in the hole in 2 months and you're thinking, I got to get out. I have to get out. I can't go for the $250 million I pledged. I just burned $70 million in 2 months. It's easy for those guys to say this stuff about Tom Dundon when they're not the ones paying these bills. And what, there's 416 players in the league, and they all got paid $49,000 for these first 8 weeks. Yeah, that's expensive. That's $49,000 times 416. Yeah, each player got $49,000. That's $20 million in payroll they already blew through. And, you know, $70 million is what he lost because of the other expenses. Like I said, travel, putting players in hotels, stadium rentals, all that stuff adds up quickly. Referees, coaching salaries, all the people that work on the operations of things. You know, it's just too much to overcome. And there was one good thing that came out of the AAF, though, and I want to talk about it. You know, one of the best things the AAF did was remind us of how good of a coach Steve Spurrier is. NFL teams should be rolling out the red carpet for the 73-year-old play caller. The Alliance of American Football has already came and went, but that doesn't mean everything about the failed league was bad. One of the best things to come from the latest attempt at minor league football was the reinvention of Steve Spurrier. After spending time at Florida, South Carolina, and with the Washington Redskins, Spurrier took over the Orlando Apollos and led them to a 7-1 record. They were the best team the AAF had to offer, And a lot of that was because Spurrier was dissecting defenses with his offensive expertise. He got to the point where the Powells always had a man wide open underneath on a crossing route, or they'd have Charles Johnson working a fade up the sidelines. You know, Mike Singletary and Tim Lewis are strong when it comes to defensive X and O's, but Spurrier still carved them up. Which brings us to our next point, and you have to wonder why no NFL teams are reaching out to the 73-year-old coach. You know, obviously his age is one big challenge. If he's the best coach available, then it really shouldn't matter. You have guys leading teams in the NFL who never even played the game. So to overlook Spurrier is downright unfair, and hopefully his owners take note of what he was able to accomplish. You know, why settle for a young coach who's unproven when you get someone who can run laps around the competition? You know, talent like that doesn't come around very often, and he's vital if you're a billion-dollar team who's in a win-at-all-cost business. Not only does Spurrier deserve another job, he'd be great for the sport. The NFL needs Steve Spurrier more than the old ball coach needs the big leagues. You know, he's already had his moment. But it's still clear, you know, someone like Jerry Jones should roll out the red carpet for the Florida Gators legend Spurrier. So, you know, Steve Spurrier, offensive mastermind, and you got, you know, Cliff Kingsbury and Zach Taylor and all these people hiring these young coaches, and they're unproven, and they're hoping to get a great offensive X and O's guy. I know Steve Spurrier's 73, but if you watch these AAF games, you realize he still had it. He's the best coach in the league by far. His offense execution was the best by far. He was constantly scheming players open. And his energy, you know, 73 years old, you'd think he would be, you know, slowing down big time. He wasn't. His energy was great. You know, he had a lot of pep. He handled, you know, managing the team well. He's still got it, plain and simple. He can help an NFL team. And like I said, if you're a billion-dollar business and a win, or you're a billion-dollar team and a win-at-all-cost business, and, you know, billions of dollars are at stake, how do you not go with Steve Spurrier, who's going to win you football games? And that's the bottom line, you know. There's so many unproven coaches around the NFL. If I'm running an NFL team, I'm paying Steve Spurrier, you know, $5, $10 million to come coach, and he's going to get you right. He might only be able to give you a couple years, but those couple years are going to at least get you going in the right direction. And for a lot of these teams who are at the bottom and don't have a lot of hope, that could be the answer. And maybe if it feels good, he could go for, you know, 3 or 4 years. But just a great story watching that guy. You know, as a guy, as a person who enjoys coaching and the impact it has, you know, being a former coach myself, to just see Coach Spurrier and how he seemed to have like an optimism, wasn't a negative coach, even when, you know, he said to one guy, you know, tell him to catch it this time when he was calling one play. He was having fun and keeping his players loose. There's just a lot you can learn from him, but, you know, you'd have to sit in the chalk talks and really see how he tries to break down what the defense throws at him. So awesome to watch. Very grateful I got to experience it. And, you know, his stock is trending upward as a coach. He just came off a AAF championship. I guess that's what they're saying down there in Orlando. But anyway, I'm John Kuzma. That's all I have today. Thank you guys for listening. Rest in peace to the AAF. I appreciate it. Have a great day.